If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Brooks, you told us on a call this week that you expect Tiger to be in contention now on Sundays, but you said you don't fear him. Why not?
I mean, what's the point in fearing anybody? We're not fighting. I mean, unless I was standing there and not prepared for a punch, I might be like, whoa. But other than that, I mean, he's not going to knock my teeth in. He's not going to hurt me. So what's there to be afraid of?
Here we go.
Wednesday, May 15, 2019. Thank you for downloading. And you are looking live at Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals as the Milwaukee Bucks have just taken a 3-point lead. We got 7 minutes and change to go. And I'm going to attempt to do something here that it's either going to be great or it's going to suck. I'm going to call my man Ron Thomas right now. Big basketball aficionado to join me today on the late night Zabecast during the fourth quarter. Ronnie!
Hello, Steve.
we're watching the game right now, you and I. I hope you're in front of a TV with your phone right now.
Of course I am. Milwaukee just went up three. Middleton hit a three.
It's been a long climb back for Milwaukee all game long. I think Toronto could be in trouble. Kawhi Leonard has played all but like 3 minutes of this game, basically. So he has got to be completely gassed at this point.
Did you hear the statistic about the 7-game series against Philadelphia?
No.
He had 243 points for the 7-game series, which is the second most or the most for a 7-game series since Michael Jordan in 1993.
Holy shit. So the second most points in a 7-gamer.
Yeah. Well, no one's come. Yeah.
Has anyone had more points in a shorter than 7-game series?
That, I couldn't tell you that.
You wouldn't think, right?
No, you know, maybe like Kareem or something.
I'm no math genius, but right, exactly.
Or, Kareem, Bill Walton, Russell, Bill Russell, one of those guys.
Holy shit, Middleton, another three. Yeah, Mirotić this time. So Lopez has had a bunch of threes this game. It's funny how, the game of basketball now, Ronnie, and you're a big basketball guy. You played in high school. You're very good. You refereed as well. You still play pickup basketball. It's just get the first best three you can. That's the game right now at the pro level.
It has.
How do you feel about
that? I'd love to see the ball go through the post more. Like, for instance, if Philadelphia, I think, went through the post more, they could have beaten Toronto.
You know what's funny?
And if they had a point guard who could actually shoot the ball,
right,
that also hurt them, Ben Simmons. But, that's just the way the game
is.
Oh,
Brogdon dunk on the breakaway.
And how about Brogdon? That? Brogdon's tough. He's just coming back for he's been out injury, the last eight games. Yeah.
Yeah. UVA guy. And he's got the Rick Fox hair going on right now.
Yes, he does. Which is something.
96-91 Bucks right now as the game is winding down. So
let me the genesis of all of this, I don't know where it is because I don't remember so many big men such as a Lopez
shooting threes.
Shooting threes. So it's just evolved, and it has so much to do with the pick and pop. Obviously, if you're going to come out and set a screen, you're not rolling to the basket and getting, you know, the perfect bounce pass roll to the basket. So why not pop?
I'll look it up right now, Ronnie, but I'm going to pretty much bet before I even look this up, basketballreference.com, I would bet that Lopez's three-point shooting profile looks a lot like Al Horford in that he barely took any early in his career, and then he learned how to shoot it, and now he's shooting a rather high amount of them for a big man because that's the evolution of the game, right?
Yep, that is the evolution, and I was fortunate enough to watch Milwaukee play at the Wizards this year late in the season. They came to town on a Sunday, and it was as impressive a display of basketball as I had seen in person.
Total,
and I knew it.
Total team.
Just everything.
Concept.
Connaughton even. I mean, he just shows up out of nowhere. Brogdon was playing very well at the time. Middleton. And the great thing is these are all guys through the draft. You know, Milwaukee built this team through the draft.
Yeah.
And I didn't know.
There's a couple purchases. They also shipped some guys away, like Thon Maker. They let Jabari Parker go when it was his time for free agency, and he had spent a lot of time coming back from an injury. God, you know what, Ronnie? Fucking pretty good at this game. So Lopez shot, starting his career in 08, the following total three-pointers for the year. 2, 2, 1, 0, 1, 1, 10, 14, and then suddenly, in his 10th season at age 28, he shot 387 threes.
That's insane.
That's totally insane.
I can't even believe that. That's crazy.
Do you know how many threes he shot this year? 512.
Yeah, that's insane. Wait, in 82 games, is that possible?
I don't think it is, but
I don't know. I don't see how that's possible. He did because he didn't shoot over.
I'm looking
six
it up.
A game, did he? Six a game, maybe.
I think
that's
so.
Possible, I guess.
Well, this is what Budenholzer said. He wanted his bigs to be shooting threes. And he believed in it, and you know, Ilyasova can really stroke it. Mm-hmm. The thing about Lopez, you look at the tightness of his rotation; it's solid. It's a solid 3-point shot. It's not a jump shot because he's just getting up on his tippy toes, but it doesn't matter because he's wide open.
Yep.
I think that number's right. 512. I'm gonna cross reference it.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Although I can't believe 512.
I can't believe it either. I have a question for you with your Milwaukee ties and your Wisconsin ties. Just how big of a presence or a phenom is the Greek Freak up there?
Oh, I mean, he's a god. He was this player that fell into that team's lap and that 15th, market's
15th
lap.
Pick. 15th pick.
And you know why he lasted that long, right?
I don't know.
Well, he was only playing like third division basketball in Greece at the time.
Okay.
And he looked like this. He was all legs and elbows and skinny. If you look up Giannis when he was coming out, you would have said, it's sort of, you know what it is, Ron? It's sort of like Tom Brady. It took somebody to see through a body that looked like a joke to see a badass.
And he had only played a few years of organized basketball. I remember seeing the 60 Minutes, and all of a sudden, defensively, Milwaukee is swatting everything.
Siakam is getting his shit eaten by four guys right now.
Oh, Lopez And George Hill, you know, is a good basketball player.
I love George Hill.
He was a good pacer. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of good things for them. He's an Indianapolis boy from Pike High School back home.
Oh, and, look at you repping the Indy kids. I love it.
Yeah, now he's a good ball player. Real good.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on the game. 96-91 right now. 5:40 to go as I talk with my boy, Ron Thomas. The TNT crew, I know you've got strong opinions about. I know you hate Weber.
I don't hate anybody.
Okay, you don't hate. Sorry.
I don't think that maybe he's evolving and he's becoming better, but
not a fan of Weber's commentary. How do you feel? How do you feel about Reggie Miller?
Oh, I love Reggie. I think he's one of the best.
And that's not the Indiana homer coming through. Even though he's a California kid, but he played for the Pacers for all those years.
I love him for a lot of reasons, but I think he's really good, especially when he does college basketball. I think he's wonderful.
Yeah, that's what I felt as well. Weber just sometimes says stuff that makes you say, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
How about Marv?
Oh, he's the best.
Okay.
You know who's really good? As I was running up to CVS, which is why we're doing this call late today, or tonight, on my way back, I had Hubie on in Kestershire. Hubie's the best.
Like I always thought Hubie was just a relic, and then I started listening more carefully to what he was saying, and I'm like, he's on point.
Oh, everything he says, Steve, is on point. I mean, that guy is literally an encyclopedia. Not only from a standpoint of knowing the game, but he's lived the game. He's coached.
Right.
He coached the Knicks. He's done it all. He's coached them. He was a great basketball player. I love him. I think he's so good.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on the Western Finals and the game last night where pretty much Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were allowed to shoot like it was a shoot-around?
Yep. Defensively, when Golden State steps it up defensively, without Durant, mind you, they did it last night, but defensively what they did to Lillard last night, Damian, was brutal. He was in a crowd everywhere he went. He had to deal with a crowd. It was like being in line at Chick-fil-A and trying to play basketball.
Chick-fil-A during rush hour at lunch,
after the local high school gets out, because you know that's where all the high school kids. But I mean, they were deflecting passes, and for Steph to do that, anybody who doesn't realize that Durant not on the floor has a huge impact in the way he plays the game. And I feel that, what do you have, 39 last night, I guess, or whatever? But he doesn't get 39 when Durant's on the floor.
The offense doesn't necessarily revolve around him as much. Big corner three by Lowry puts game tied now, 98-98. I would love to know what Durant's really thinking, because he is so sensitive and so needy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this team has not blinked since he's been out.
Yep. Nor will they. Nor will they, because they, you know, this puts Draymond more in the picture too when Kevin's not there. And as much hype as Draymond Green gets, Draymond, he is really good.
He's good when he wants to be. He's also dirty, and he's a shitty teammate.
Effective. He's effective.
Right.
He was effective last night. He defended. He rebounded. You know, someone still has to rebound, and someone still has to do the dirty work down below, and he's just that guy, and he just is so good at pissing off the opponents, getting in their head so much. But, my thoughts are
By the way, so sorry to cut you off, but
no, I'm just saying my thoughts are simple. If Golden State defends, they can't be beat.
I think the series is over, basically. I know it's ridiculous to say after one game, but you know, the math tightens up quickly when an underdog doesn't draw blood early, because you say, well, now you got to win 4 out of 6 games.
Yeah.
Without home court advantage against a Warrior team that's better with Durant or without, it's not going to happen, I don't think.
They'll win two. They'll win two. They'll get two at home.
Okay.
I believe that.
Probably the case.
Officiating may have something to do with that.
Right. So that would then, and here's what's crazy. So before the playoffs began, the Warriors were such heavy favorites, according to Vegas, to win the title. I think they were upside down, like 1-3 or 1-2, which is unheard of. And you looked at it and say, man, there's a lot of reasons why you could say this might not happen this year. Their regular season record wasn't as good. They were going to have to face the Rockets most likely in the second round. Then you had the injury to Durant. It's almost like the odds makers, Ronnie, knew more than John Q. Public. Yeah. It's almost like they realized when these guys get their mind right and stop fucking around, nobody can beat them. Period.
Yeah. Well, they have something to play for.
Yeah.
When you know that you're at the end of the line, if you don't perform, I mean, right. It's not like they're going to Denver and they can lose in Denver and then maybe lose a back-to-back, which rarely happens, lose to San Antonio the next night. They know that they've got a 3 or 4 game homestand coming up and they're just going to dominate. But, you know, they're playing for something, and that is preservation of the dynasty, if you will.
And we're still a long way from them winning it all. I know this is ridiculous. They've got to win this series against Portland, and then whoever comes out of the East here. Toronto now up to 198. You're live continuing coverage here on the Zabecast with 3:10 to go. Continues. So let's talk PGA Championship.
Okay.
Begins tomorrow. Bethpage, you excited?
I am excited. It's so strange because I've never looked at the weather so much of a golf tournament that I'm not playing in. I didn't even know what to look up. I did know to look up like Bethpage, New York, or Farmingdale, New York.
Ron, come on. Are you not a man of the modern world? Do you not have a weather app?
No, that's what I'm saying. You still have to put it in.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, you still have to put it in. No, right. I look it up in the Farmer's Almanac and see what I can find.
All right. So let's see. I'm going to type it in right now. Bethpage, New York. Isn't that where the course is, Bethpage?
It's in Farmingdale. Farmingdale, New York, 100-99. Giannis missed a free throw, down one.
Oh,
but
boy.
Anyway, the weather leading up, I wanted to know what it was going to be like, but it looks like they're going to get
pretty good. 67, 67 and sunny Thursday, 40% chance of storms Friday, high of 69, sunny and 68 Saturday, 30% chance of rain on Sunday. About as good as you can get.
Yes, it is. Because that place cannot take any more water. I mean, of course, it could take more water, but these guys don't need that place any wetter than it is. What's going to play at 7,450 par 70, right?
And you know what?
7,400 yards?
I predict this. Someone's shooting 6 under tomorrow. Easy. Because they're going to throw darts. The length won't bother these dudes. It's just going to be point-to-point golf. Someone's going to be dialed in. It's a super deep field. Greens will be probably a little slow. You know how now in the early season, and especially with all the rain we've got here in D.C., that there's so much grass growing on greens, they're just sticky?
Yeah, yes, I do know what you mean.
So yeah. I don't know how fast they can get these greens. What a game. Milwaukee now up 101-100, 2 minutes even to go.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, Lopez just hit a three. Look at the fans. They're going
nuts. Look at Lopez blowing a kiss to the fans. 104-100 right now.
He was acting like he was smoking a joint. Yeah, puff, pass. That's his new move.
Oh, and they're going crazy outside as
they
well.
Are.
By the way, if you're at a game and they give out free T-shirts for a whiteout like they have tonight at the Bucks game. Do you wear the T-shirt over your clothes? Do you swap it out quickly? Or do you say, I'm not wearing a T-shirt. I wore clothes myself to the game. What's your answer?
Knowing it's a whiteout going in, I wear my own version of a white shirt. I'm not going to wear that 50-50 Gildan that still has the screen printing is still hard. That's going to scratch your eye when you put it on. So no, I wear my own white shirt.
Don't make me laugh so hard. It calls out the last bit of bronchitis deep in my chest. You son of a bitch.
Yeah,
yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the itchy giveaway sweat T-shirt that costs $395 maybe wholesale. And you put it on without washing it 10 times, it'll itch you to the end of the move.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but it's like a jizz rag.
It's a podcast, man. Say anything you want.
The old jizz rag. You can't wear that.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. I got to sit up now. All right. Back to the PGA. So,
How about the blonde sitting in the front row, by the way? Holy cow.
She's all right, man.
She's all right.
Funny how the real attractive ones always get in camera range, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. But a lot of them, you can see their plastic surgery. And then you're like, good from far, far from good, as my dad used to say.
Oh, Kawhi just got hammered on a drive, no call. How does he not
get
that call?
They swallowed the whistles, though. The other end, they didn't blow it.
How does Kawhi not get that one, man? There was a ton of contact. Giannis over the back, no call.
They're
now we got a scrum.
This is good.
Jump ball. This is good. Jump ball. 104-100. Milwaukee leads, 124 left in the game. So so the PGA at Bethpage is going to be interesting because it's early in the year. Totally different. It's going to be a Bombers. I mean, you got to favor one of the Bombers, right? It's going to come down to Koepka, Tiger, DJ, Rory, Ricky, Day, Rom,
Finau.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who can carry it 300 has a chance. Anyone who can't doesn't. Right?
Did we even mention Jason Day, or is he just
I threw
out of
Day
the lexicon?
In there.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah. But you say Day is made out of tissue paper and duct tape.
Oh, he is.
Ooh,
yeah,
Giannis just got his pocket picked. Ooh, boy.
Danny Green,
North Carolina
Kyle
guy.
Lowry, he got fouled. They didn't call it.
Wow.
Lopez is everywhere. He's all over the court.
Yeah.
So, yes, you'd have to be a Bomber, you'd think, except for your man that you call the little meatball.
Oh, yeah, Molinari. He's
going to be around. He's pretty long, though.
I don't think he can win at a place that long. Do you?
You don't think so? Well, he's just such a good ball striker, Steve.
I know.
He's such a good ball striker.
He could.
You never know with these guys. Someone can get hot, like a Kevin Kisner or someone.
Wow.
Can get hot because,
okay, look at this. Point three on the shot clock. Bledsoe just got bailed out with a foul call with .3. Yeah, he did
Gasol
get fouled.
He got him on the shoulder.
Yeah. Nick,
it's a bad play by Gasol. Just leave your hand straight up. You don't need to come down on that.
Nick Nurse is apoplectic. First of all, I love any coach named Nick Nurse. It's a great name. Secondly, his glasses, he just looks like a cartoon character.
Yes, he does. It's like, who's that comedian that used to have his own show? Jim Carrey, was that his name? Or Drew Carey?
Drew Carey, yeah.
The Drew Carey Show, yeah.
Does Price is Right now?
Yes, does it well, actually.
Do you know
I've always wondered how it would be to host that show. Do you really feel legitimate when you walk in there? And if you're getting paid enough money, I guess you'll host anything. But...
Dude, do you know that's like one of the best jobs in entertainment? Here's why.
In what way?
I'm glad you're scoffing, Ronnie, because
I'm
going to tell you.
I'm listening.
I'll tell you why. Number one, pays great money. Number two, they batch record a shitload of those episodes at once. I want to say he works 1 week out of the month.
Oh, you're kidding me.
He lives in Palm Springs. He plays golf all day, every day.
I love it.
The best job ever. Are you reinventing the wheel? No. Are you becoming the most well-known man in America? No. Who wants it? Who needs it?
Yeah.
And you're well liked because you're just a game show host. Oh, it's a great gig. He's smart.
It would be hard for you, and it would be hard for me because we would have a very hard time not making fun of people underhandedly to their face and them not knowing that we are.
What, making fun of him being
the
host?
To the contestants.
Oh.
Because we host the show. When they show up dressed up, and it's like, get a life, you know?
By the way, two free throws by Bledsoe puts the Bucks up 8 now. 108-100, 28.6 to go. The game is essentially over, but guess what's not over? The spread. It was 6.5, Milwaukee. And now all of a sudden, if you were sitting on Toronto plus all night, you're sweating bricks right now. Goddamn, gambling is unbelievable. It really is.
What about you? Did you play this?
No, I didn't. I picked it on the air, which for me, Ron, is almost as good as putting money on it, because then I can at least brag about it. I told you I had that side. I mean, I don't bet enough money to make a difference in my life, and if I did, then I'd have a real problem, and I'd say to myself, what are you doing? So I have an online account, and I could put 20 or 40 bucks down, but if I win or lose, so what?
Yeah. Well, you know what I like about you? Many things, first of all, but the one thing is you like your money. You don't like to give your money away. You're not big on doing that. I'm serious. So when you lose, some people just don't give a shit, Steve. They,
really?
You know, the guys who just play every game. You know, you can't play every game because you're gonna. The odds are gonna get you. But some guys lose 600, 700, 800 small to medium players, or they can lose as much as 2,200. How would you feel taking 2,200 in the old days to your guy and, you know,
handing it over?
If you don't pay, if you don't pay the 2,200, you don't get to feed your Jones the next week playing the games that you love, and you know it's a slippery slope.
Well, usually if you're betting with a man, he'll let you get 2,200 underwater, extend your credit, and then once he gets you 10 grand underwater, that's when he starts to break you over his knee. That's when he starts to really leverage you. And that's how it is with bookies. By the way, I want to talk gambling for a second, because so many of, you know, my buddies, and especially the guys up in Wisconsin, they like to gamble on not only golf, but various other things. Mm-hmm. I played golf at this course called Hidden Glen. It is a, ready for this, PB die design.
The redheaded stepchild.
Right, but we were in the clubhouse having lunch afterwards, and they showed me the pock marks on the tables, like little indentations, and they said, "See this? This is from all the games of dice that are played for big money in the clubhouse." I think the game is called like Egyptian or something like that. Some dice game in the clubhouse. Now, you've been around a lot of private golf clubs. You know, big time gambling happens both around golf, on the golf course, and in the clubhouse after the round. Right.
Usually in a card room. Were you in like a card room, a private room? Or
no, this was like in the dining. Well, it was the grill area that blended into the locker room. So it was one of those types of clubhouses.
Okay. Well, there was a Calcutta that may have occurred tonight that I chose after our last discussion, or after what we've discussed about how it ruined my Masters.
Did you do one for the PGA?
No, I chose. I my son Winston had a baseball game, then we went straight from there to a basketball tryout, a travel league tryout, travel team tryout, and so I didn't make the Calcutta, and I feel good about that I didn't.
Well,
I'm
good.
Actually going to be able to, you know, I'm going to be able to enjoy the golf tournament.
But you know, the PGA is not nearly as special as the Masters. I think the PGA is kind of the one you want to have a Calcutta on, then it makes it a little more interesting. But and of course, Toronto just missed a free throw. Down 8, spread is 6.5, 23 seconds left. Kawhi has been held to 2 points in the fourth. Out of gas.
Yep. Hey, how do you think CBS is going to do with this coverage this year? Are they going to, I mean, can we just not have so much Amanda Batoni or whatever her name is?
Amanda Baliones?
Yes, too much. We
I
don't
know.
Care about that after that post-round interview. We don't care.
It's
not show us golf. I don't need to hear, and here are your stats and look at this and tell us about this. The thing that you and I have always said about CBS covering a major championship is that their coverage, their production mimics exactly what they've done at the Memphis St. Jude Classic for 20 years.
Well,
you know, or any tournament. It's Hartford. They don't change anything, and you still have to listen to your boy McCord. And it doesn't have the major feel. It's better on TNT, if you ask me. There's
Agreed.
Some about, yeah.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. The PGA of America, as you know, and that's a final, everybody. Milwaukee 108, Toronto 100, and the Bucks escape stubbing their toe right out of the gate in game one against the Toronto Raptors. It's a good win for Milwaukee. They finally found it. I do think, though, there's some cause for concern, because I think Toronto's got a handle on how they want to play Giannis. And they threw up that wall early on, making him a passer, making him a passer. I don't know how long they can keep doing that, but I think they feel like they've got a handle on how they want to play him. So we'll see. Okay.
Well, comment on that. How did I believe Toronto had 59 at half? How about a 41-point half they held him to? That's how you win championships.
Yeah.
Well, defensively, period.
They played a lot of tempo in the first half. Toronto did. They got out on runs and got early looks. And second half, they made 10 threes. And then, of course, second half, Milwaukee ground them down. They kind of slowed the tempo down, and they got physical and got the game done. And thank God that Brooke Lopez hit so many threes, because otherwise they would have been in big trouble.
And I'm sure there were some nerves involved. This is a big deal for Milwaukee. It's a big deal. And you're going to be nervous, period. Yeah.
Okay, so back to CBS and their coverage of the PGA. Here's the problem. The PGA of America, as you know, lards up the broadcast with commercials. And so the PGA of America could dictate to CBS not so many commercials, but they don't do that. And so CBS runs wild with it. It's not like the Masters that has limited commercials. I believe people used to chart just how many commercials the PGA Championship had as a major compared to the others, and it was off the charts. Yeah. So I don't know if they've dialed that back just yet, but they should, because if you want to be a major, you can't look and feel, like you said, like the FedEx St. Jude Classic.
Yep. And my guess is that it will not be any different this year than it has been in past.
Boy. One good thing is that the CBS used to and maybe this was a PGA of America thing. Remember when they used to call this Glory's Last Shot?
Yes, I do remember.
Because it was the last major. Well, they can't say that now because it's the second major.
Are they building something right next to Milwaukee Stadium? It looked like there was a big lot there on the aerial shot they just showed.
No, that's the old arena.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they knocked the old place down, the Bradley Center, and they haven't yet hauled away all the rubble just yet.
Gotcha.
So, all right, so I want to talk Brooks Koepka for a second. I'm becoming a huge fan, actually, in part because I think he's found his inner bad guy persona, and he's not a bad guy, but he has finally realized that just quietly going about his business isn't going to get him shit in terms of respect or attention. Yeah. So he's starting to speak up just a bit. Did you hear him explain why he thinks winning a major is easier than maybe other tournaments?
I did. He broke down the players. You've got so-and-so number of players. This many have no shot. Then of these guys, this certain many are going to be nervous. So I only have to beat, 10 guys?
How great was that?
Yeah, I don't even
know. You didn't like that?
I just think that I don't think he thinks enough before he talks. And that's why he doesn't talk a lot. He's a
bad boy, man.
He said some stuff already that has alienated a few people from, a few guys on tour.
You're not a fan. Interesting. I'm becoming a fan because I think he's like tonight they showed, they ran a feature on live from, on Golf Channel.
Mm-hmm.
They decided, some producer said, he's looking at his rundown. He's like, we have Tiger chasing Jack's major record in 7 of our 8 blocks of tonight's show. What can we do to maybe break it up? Okay, we'll do a Brooks Koepka feature. By the way, I know Tiger's the story, but for fuck's sake, it's 9 out of every 10 minutes.
I know.
It's too much.
It's typical. It's typical. It is they think they're feeding the masses what they want. But see, the golfing audience is tuned into the Golf Channel for a reason, because they're golf fans for the most part. And people who understand the game don't want to be bombarded with Tiger Woods all the time.
Yeah, I don't.
They want to feed us McDonald's, and we want 5 guys every once in a while. I don't want the same shit coming at me over and over. I know enough about Tiger. I know the state of his game. But they show the press conference over and over.
Because you know what it is? It was no new ground on Tiger, and it wasn't even interesting. I'm watching the coverage on Left TV while I'm watching the basketball pregame, And they stayed on Tiger's pursuit of Jack for almost like 10 minutes. And I said to myself, because I wasn't listening to what they were saying, I didn't have the audio on it, I thought to myself, what could they be saying for 10 straight minutes?
Yep.
Like,
I know.
Hit it and quit it. Let's move on here. So anyway, about Koepka, okay, real quick. So the feature on him was very interesting because they interviewed his mom. And his parents are pretty clearly divorced because it wasn't Mrs. Koepka. It was whatever her name is now, her maiden name.
Right.
She's apparently a TV reporter. So she was very well spoken. And she talked about how when she knew that Brooks was really serious about the game of golf. But Brooks himself said something last year at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock pissed him off and motivated him to go on and win the thing. Do you know what that was?
No.
End of the first round, he shoots 5 over. He gets introduced at the podium by the assistant for the USGA, some one of the PR gals.
Okay.
All right, Brooks Koepka, 5 over par. And then he walks up on the podium. There was no media members there. He was not asked a single question. And so they showed the clip of him standing there for a few seconds, looking around and saying, okay, that's it. Great. And he steps off the stage and he thought, I'm the defending champ. Can you believe that?
That's his personality, yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I consider that media malpractice. I really do. It's inconceivable the defending U.S. Open champ, who also won the PGA Championship, although he didn't win it until after the USGA, but whatever. The defending U.S. Open champ, and nobody came to talk to him.
But, Steve, there aren't people like you and I, you and me, that are covering the game. If there were people like you and I who
hundreds of reporters, but these
aren't guys who have played golf, and half of them suck.
Okay,
and more than half of them suck, and they're shallow, and they write dog shit stuff. They don't want to get into because they think they need to follow what sells and write what sells.
I'm sure they were all out sniffing Tiger's farts.
Exactly. Instead of getting there and knowing, but you would have thought, say, you know what, Koepka's coming in. I'm going to go in there. I might be the only guy in there. Hey, Steve, why don't you come with me? Let's go ask this guy some neat questions. Like, first question. Hey, Brooks, how do you feel that Steve Zabin and I are the only guys that are in here right now?
Hey, well, hey, Brooks, since no one's here to ask you questions, you want to go get a lift in together?
But you know what I mean? I mean, it's just people don't get it, Steve, across all the mediums. They don't get it. They don't know what the consumer wants. They think we're a bunch of dummies.
Yeah.
So, you know, the hardest thing I think for being a professional athlete right now, if I were a professional athlete, I think the hardest thing would be to keep from feeling that I'm getting slighted. You know, you can't help but have a chip on your shoulder when you look, if you were to watch television and just see the constant minutia, the bullshit of the same stuff over and over, and you think, you know what, I want to go out and beat that guy's brains today on the course, because first of all, I think I'm better than him. I know I could beat his ass, and everybody's sucking him off all the time.
See, this is why I'm surprised you weren't more in tune with his quote about, 80 guys can't win, another 40 won't play well. Of the 40 that are left, half of them will get nervous, so I only have to beat 20 guys. I thought you'd be into that. I thought you'd great.
I think it's interesting. Okay. I think you got to be careful when you do speak so little and so rarely. I think you got to be careful about saying, well, 80 guys can't win or half of them can't win, this and that. I'd take offense to that.
Here's the thing, though, about Koepka, where I'll say I think he gets a bad rap. His boy, Dustin Johnson, is every bit as boring, only he's more stupid on top of being boring. DJ is no dynamo when it comes to the quote room for the media. So do people bash DJ as much as they do Koepka? No, I don't think they do. So I'm caping up for Koepka. I'm becoming a Brooks fanatic. It's pretty pathetic. And then he'll do something and I'll be like, okay, I'm off that guy.
Oh, he'll do something. He will do something. He'll say something. He'll do something. Don't worry about that.
All right. So just to wrap up here tonight, because you got to go to bed. I got to go to bed. Bucks have won 1-0 in the series against the Raptors. Here's the thing. You know what the next big accessory item is going to be in golf shops for golfers. And it's not a ball. It's not a club. It's not something you wear. It's not a piece of technology. I was in Golfdom today with our friend Buddy Christensen, the owner of the store. He said CBD oil is the next big thing. This is what Phil has been seen dropping under his tongue during a round.
Yep.
Some say that Tiger was chewing CBD gum.
They own a business together, you know. Mickelson and they are investors in a humongous operation, early investors in a CBD company.
Yes.
Early investors and so big investors.
So the word is that CBD oil, which is cannabidiol oil, whatever you call it, is the essence of course, you know, it's the medicinal core of marijuana without the stuff that gets you high.
Right.
And so they're saying it has all kinds of wonderful side effects and benefits, you know, easing arthritis, as well as concentration and calming influences.
Yes, it relieves anxiety. Or it diminishes anxiety.
Have you tried it?
No, I haven't.
Do you believe it?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's been around for thousands upon thousands of years. You know, not in a refined state that I'm open to the
medicinal benefits of CBD oil. However, I also know that a lot of times people think things do things for them and they don't. It's like a placebo effect. Because remember, when this country was founded and we're traveling back and forth in covered wagons from one carnival to another, what oil was being sold back then? Snake.
Well, this
so this could
different.
Just be a modern. This could be different.
Let me give you two things I'd like to say. One, my wife and I and my son, we live with my in-laws. My father-in-law has Parkinson's. They live with us. My father-in-law has Parkinson's, and my mother-in-law has multiple sclerosis. What the CBD oil has done for my mother-in-law is nothing short of miraculous.
That's wonderful.
It has changed her life.
Well, you should have led with that, and I wouldn't have called it snake oil.
No. It's okay. How you would never know that. You're just you're being devil's advocate, what you're good at.
I'm using my skeptical brain, that's all.
Yes. The second thing is I believe the man I'm talking to has rheumatoid arthritis.
Yes, I do.
Yes. So this is something that you're probably
be taking it.
Yes.
Where's my snake oil?
Well, no. Well,
I mean, CBD oil. Where do I get it? Where is it legal?
Oh, it's legal everywhere. CBD oil has not one bit of THC in it. You can get the THC oil, but you don't want that. You don't need that.
Maybe
you
for the weekend I want it.
Well, that's not your style. It'll make you eat more, and you don't want to do that.
Hey.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't. Oh. So you're going to Pinehurst next week.
Without you, and that's a great disappointment, but that's my fault because you go to Indiana for the Indy 500 next week. We are going to talk next week, you and I, on this podcast about the Indy 500. We're going to try to get on. Who is it that someone recommended we get on?
Doug Bowles, the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Okay. So yeah.
I'd like to do that. That'd be great. You know, a lot of your folks, your big listeners up in Milwaukee, I've talked to you about this, and I've been on the air with the guys, Doug and Brian, or whatever their names are up there. I can't remember. But Milwaukee is one of the epicenters of open wheel racing in this country. Yeah. Always has been. The Milwaukee Mile at the State Fairgrounds was just a terrific place.
We'll talk open wheel racing next week. And of course, the granddaddy of them all, the Indianapolis 500. When do you leave for Indy? What day?
I leave Wednesday.
All right, we'll record before Wednesday then. All right.
I will. And then, hey, quickly then, this weekend I get to go down and see Bob Seger on Saturday at Virginia Beach, and I'm playing two rounds of golf while I'm down there. But I'm looking forward to that. I'll give you
a report next week.
I will. All right.
All right, Ronnie. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, bud. Bye bye.
All right, that'll do it for us tonight. I don't know how this one came off. Might have been kind of annoying us watching the Bucks game together. Might have been kind of interesting. Who knows? It just is what it is, as the athletes like to say, until I figure out this production schedule. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening to the Zabecast. Thank you for your patience. Have yourself a great night. Now get to bed, and we will see you next time.